I actually wrote down a few things that I wanted to say because I wasn't sure I'd remember to say them all, in spite of having all these years to think about what I wanted to say today. I realized that I've known three Stanleys in my life. When I was a child, his world so centered on me that I don't think I even noticed it. But I was the center of his world, I know. I've heard the stories about how I learned to talk and to read at the same time because he had my crib surrounded by pictures with words on it, and he would say chair, C-H-A-I-R, chair. That's why I grew up to be such a freak. And then there was the second period when I knew him as a sort of distant and often annoying figure from my childhood. And then I've been privileged to have these last 9 years when he more or less became my child again, and I was able to, I think, get to know Stan at his purest. As he got older and as there was less left perhaps of the rationality and subtlety that may have been there earlier, what was left was just a pure personality of good intentions, worry, and humor, and some illusions that he chose to cling to in spite of their absurdity, about not just the ability of one man to make a difference, but the ability of one man, any man, to make a huge difference. When he was a few weeks ago talking with someone at the geriatric center and they tried to raise the conversation about dying, he said, and I don't believe a word of it, but he said he wasn't afraid of dying, he just didn't feel like he'd gotten done what he was here to do yet. And they asked him, like, what? And he said, like, making peace in the Middle East. He did not think small. So in the end, what was left was this pure essence, and we all know his humor. I can't tell you how many times I heard him ask unsuspecting doctors and nurses if they knew who was in the hospital. The answer, of course, is sick people. And everyone who knew him knew his good-heartedness, which really was his politics. But there was a side of him that I don't think everyone knew, which was really Stan the poet. And he always loved poetry and singing. Our kids, probably the first song they knew how to sing was You'll Get Pie in the Sky When You Die, That's a Lie. If you come to our house afterwards, we actually have some of his old poetry out that we found. But I thought I'd close with one of his favorite political poems, which I think of as an epic allegory for the historic struggle of the working man against the forces that oppress him, if you'll indulge me. The horses run around. The masses pursue their daily life, knowing no higher level of existence. Their feet are on the ground, grounded in the daily struggle to live, ignorant of the manipulation of their capitalist masters. Who will wind the clock when I'm away? Who indeed will carry on the struggle for the working man now that the last true socialist is gone? Go get an axe, there's a hair on baby's chin. However excellent a society we have, you can always find a way to make it better, and any one tool is as good as another. A boy's best friend is his mother. We're all born into the universal proletariat, our true mother, and we're all brothers. Peeping through a knothole in father's wooden leg, some ends are justified by the means. Sometimes you need to break the letter of the law to support the spirit of the law. Oh, why do they put the shore so near the ocean? Total respect. We raise our young, why does this life in which we have to do so much end so soon? Why is the shore so near the ocean? Or as Stan put it in his final days, I'm still a young man. We feed our baby garlic to find him in the dark. We raise our young into the heart of the struggle so that they too may be beacons in the darkness, beacons of light or garlic. And who took the sleeves off father's vest? The final unanswered question, the socialist anarchist omerta, the original don't ask, don't tell, not for profit, but for the greater good, civil disobedience, perhaps even ecotage, but still, Stan wanted every individual to own up to his actions, right or wrong, and that, as much as anything, is what Stan Borenstein was all about. But seriously, if he was about anything, it was about finding a way to make people laugh, and it never bothered him to be the, if the jokes were his own expense. He just wanted people to be laughing. So in that spirit, I searched last night to try to find a joke that I had never heard before that I thought he would have liked. A vulture boards an airplane carrying two dead animals. The flight attendant looks at him and says, "I'm sorry, sir, only one carry-on allowed per passenger." I'll miss you, Dad.